Well, Barbara, I want to talk in this message about bad company corrupts good morals, and I think of 1 Corinthians 15:33. And do you have that handy there in front of you? I know you're real fast in finding scripture.
I can get it.
You're faster than I am here, but, you know, we want to talk to you folks because many times when you get born again, you think that it's your evangelistic duty to go back and win all the people that you used to have happy hour with. Mm-hmm. We're going to suggest to you that you really think about this scripture. And now, would you read that for us?
Well, he's talking to the brethren, and I want to just say a couple verses before that. I protest, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's the kind of people that he's talking about, Paul is talking about. We do not want to associate with those kind of people. Let's eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we may die, and that's all they have on their minds. And then verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. And so he's talking to brothers and sisters who are born again. And Darren, several years ago, we did a single tape on bad company corrupts good morals. But I believe it's such a big issue.
It is.
And we have had teaching up the kazoo here for years and years about not associating with the world. And yet there seems to be that lust for joining into the worldly crowds or getting into a worldly relationship or dating a worldly person. And like you just said before, trying to win them over for Jesus. And if you will understand, your good morals will not influence her or him as much as his bad morals will affect you.
You know, I used to go to a steakhouse. It was also a great place to eat. But they had a bar in the back of the place in Fort Collins. And I went there, I mean, many, many, many times and over a period of many years. And I observed that many times a young lady would come in and she would go to work there. And it wasn't long before the defilement would soak into that girl. And down the hill she went. And pretty soon, obviously it affected their tips and so on. But they were compromising. And they were in a compromising situation. And the situation almost demanded compromise if you're going to get along. Mm-hmm. I believe whether you're working there or whether you're going out for happy hour or just going out for a drink with the boys or with the girls after work, that catches up with you, and
yes,
pretty soon that influence soaks into you, and you begin to compromise.
That's right, and we're not talking just physical, Darren, here. We're talking about spirits.
Right, exactly.
Spirits of nicotine, spirits of alcohol, spirits of perversion that come into these places.
And gambling.
And gambling.
Right.
And then you walk out with those spirits. If you don't close those doors, I love your example of being in the rotunda of a Capitol and all these doors around the verandas above.
Right.
And closing all those doors.
Well, you know, if you stand on the main floor of the Capitol building, and most of them are built this way, and then they have this rotunda, which is like the second floor, and it's a circular walkway around there, but off of the walkway are all these doors to these offices and mm-hmm. meeting rooms and so on. I have seen many times where God spoke to me and he said, listen, for this person to really clean up their act, you need to, in the spirit world, close all those doors. And I've seen people that were heavily involved in drugs in the past, and they got born again, but they hadn't closed those doors in the spirit world. And it's not just for drugs or for alcohol or for addictions, but it's for other influences. You have to close those doors. In other words, shut out the world.
Yes.
You have to do that.
Really.
It comes right back in. It soaks into you and it pulls you down, and then you compromise.
Yes, and we don't want you hanging with the wrong crowd. We really don't, because it's going to affect your spiritual life. It's going to affect your blueprint in life that God has for you. And I believe some of you listening really don't understand the word repent. And so many times we say, if you say this prayer, you're going to be born again. And that is true if your heart is sincere in every way.
If you mean it in your heart.
That's right. And so many people, I believe, Darren, just say that prayer and go out and sin like they did before. This word repent is number 3340 in the Strong's Concordance, and it's metanoeo. And it means to have regret about one's life accompanied by a true change of heart toward God. Now, when you say that sinner's prayer, this is what should happen. You should have regret of what you how you've been living in the past, and you want to have a real change in your heart toward God.
Well, but Barb, I believe it's like this. It's if a person is presenting the salvation prayer to another person, and they say, well, I want you to pray the sinner's prayer after me, and they should tell them, listen, I want you to pray this prayer and mean it in your heart. Now, if all they say that is with surface language, mm-hmm. it's almost like, yeah, I'll be compliant. You know, now, what am I supposed to say? Now, it's not just saying, it's a change of heart. It's a decision at the heart level.
Yes, it truly is.
And if they don't do that, then I believe, yes, technically, legally, I could say it that way, they do get born again, but they don't even know the impact of what happened in their heart and what's supposed to affect then that heart. Change is supposed to affect their behavior.
Well, and I believe that's what follow-up is all about, and I believe that's what a church's responsibility is, not just get them born again, but get them into classes where they can actually pursue a course of gaining wisdom and understanding about the past and the future, about what happened in the past, what happened as they received Jesus, when 1 Peter says, you've come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's great light. They need to know that. And it does result in a changed person. It means mostly, now this word repent means mostly and importantly the regret because of the consequences of one's act or acts. And that's why we want you to understand this, because once you've been born again, you don't want to go out and hang with the crowd anymore. And you feel dirty and you feel conviction on your heart when you do. You really, if you are truly born again, you feel conviction about walking back into that place or doing the drugs again or going and laying with the opposite sex before marriage. You're going to feel guilt, because if you're truly born again, that's going to lay heavy on your heart.
Now, Barbara, I believe this message is not only to surface Christians. I believe this message applies to all of us. Mm. We need to really look, how deep are we walking with the Lord? How much of the Lord have we taken into our heart? How much of our heart have we given to Him? How much are we willing to change? Mm-hmm. And I believe the underlying pinnings of this message is we need to take a good look at where we are with the Lord.
With God,
and
yes.
With our lifestyle. And are we moving more and more toward holiness, or are we still in a compromising position? And folks, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to have victory with the Lord long term, you're going to have to move toward holiness. And holiness really means, in street language, this, that there's no compromise. The Bible talks about no shadow of turning. As you turn the light of God around, you see no dark spots in it. Mm-hmm. There is not an evening. There's not a morning. It's full noonday bright. Well, let's take a look at our lives.
Yes, and so many people do not realize the true change of heart, because they believe the change is all internal, Darren. And it's true for the most part, but there's also a realization that one's outward surroundings must also change. It's so true. Your outward surroundings must change. And that's what this lesson is all about. And Darren, I think of Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. That means the world does not have a hold on you any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. See, you're now being directed by God. You're not being directed by your friends any longer or by the crowd any longer. And that's why this is so important to us, because we don't want you hanging out with the wrong crowd. We really don't.
And now, Barbara, I think that goes as far as to say, okay, if your wardrobe before you got born again was seductive, mm-hmm. you need to change your wardrobe.
Absolutely, yes.
And if you used to be on the make, and I'm talking adult language here, if you've been out there and thinking, oh, you know, how many guys are looking at me, or how many gals are looking at me, and does that, just build up my ego and that kind of stuff, that has to go. That has to change. And you can no longer converse or appeal or congregate with the opposite sex like you did before. You can't be seductive anymore.
That's right.
And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, the eyes, the way you look at people, where you look at them. And I'm gonna just talk real straight to the women. You got to stop being a crotch watcher. Now, that's pretty straight language, isn't it? And guys, you got to stop looking the women over, and they you know, they used to feel like you were undressing them with your eyes, and you were. Mm-hmm. That now, has got to stop.
That's right. And